Precious loving Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day you've given us. We thank you for the joy of your presence, for the righteousness, holiness, peace, rest, the joy of the Lord, for all that you've given us, Lord, in every day of our lives. We thank you, Father, for this word that we're about to receive, the seed of your word, the harvest that it will bring forth. Thank you for it, sir. We position ourselves in a place to hear today, and we invite you to sow and plant this precious word in our hearts. And we thank you, Father, that it will bring harvest. In Jesus' name,
amen.
Well, we've been talking about fruitfulness, specifically recognizing the fruits of righteousness and the fruits of unrighteousness. Last week, we got down to John 15:7. If ye live in me, abide vitally united to me, and my words remain in you, and continue to live in your hearts, ask whatever you will, and it shall be done for you. The key word there is to abide, or to live. Allow you abide in him, his words abide in you. One of the secrets to the flow of the word of God is being consistent, or continuing, or being constant. To be consistently constant is where the power lies. Our problem in Christianity today, in our modern society, we're not continuous in anything. We just kind of take it as it comes, so to speak. I like that pinball machine. I like that analogy, because those of us who played pinball in the past, you pull that little handle and that ball goes up and it rolls, it goes down and doesn't hit anything. You think, oh man, kind of seeking, because the points come when it gets knocked around. Well, I reverse that. You know, the secret in Christian life is to get up there and to go down there without being knocked around. Yeah. The Holy Spirit causes you to avoid those little bumpers in that thing that bounces you around. The bumpers in life determining where you go. You hit that bumper and it bounces you over there, and hit another one and goes over there. That's kind of the way we live our day-to-day Christian life in today. We shouldn't be living that way. We should be listening closely to the Holy Spirit and allowing him to tell us when to turn and avoid those bumpers in life before we slide on through. We're going to hit some of them, but even the ones that we hit, he's able to move us away from that. That's the secret. One of the secrets is to being consistently constant, to listen to the word, to be in the word where it causes us to grow and be able to hear his voice.
Amen.
The Holy Spirit will never tell us anything that's not in the word.
That's right.
It will be based on God's word. God will only do what his word says he will do, and we're involved in everything he does.
Amen.
That's one thing we don't like either. We don't like to be involved. We want God to just do everything for us, and we're involved in everything he does. Even if our involvement is just to believe, we always have an involvement in some way. Every promise has a condition. If that may be the only condition to believe you receive, but there's a condition there somewhere. That's what that word if is. I started reading this verse in John 15:7 with that word. The very first word there was if. Mm-hmm. That word if jumps out at me every time I see it. If and let, but, put, therefore. I've said that so many times. But we pass those words up. Mm-hmm. Then we move to Galatians 6:7-8. So let's start there today. I mentioned John 15:7 was to get us in that mindset that we are involved and we have to continue, we have to abide. That's our part. God's done his part, and that part's the finished work. Galatians 6:7, that's where we left off, I think, last week,
yeah,
if I remember correctly. Not 5, 6. There we go. Galatians 6:7. Do not be deceived and deluded and misled. Now I'm reading the Amplified Bible. Yours will be similar. God will not allow himself to be sneered at, scorned, disdained, or mocked by mere pretensions or professions, or by his precepts being set aside. And we talked about setting aside the word, how we do that. He inevitably deludes himself who attempts to delude God. For whatever a man sows, that and that only is what he will reap. So if you take the word of God and you sow it into your life, what are you going to reap? you're going to reap the benefits of that word. You're going to get a harvest from what you're doing with the word. Mm-hmm. When you walk, we've been talking about the fruit being love. Love is actually the fruit that we produce because we are, because God is love. We are born of Him. We're born in His image. We are love. As He is, so are we in this world. It says in John 15, 1 John 4, okay, 7, that's 18, I believe. But it's in 1 John 4. It says, as He is, so are we in this world. As He is, He's love. As we are that way in the world, we are also love. So the fruit that we produce is love. So if we sow love, if we sow the loving thing to do, then that's what we're going to reap, right? We're going to reap love. If we sow our carnal nature, we respond with our emotions, and we respond negatively in our life, that's what we're going to reap back. I mean, this is a promise. This is as much as a promise as any other promise in the Word. For whatever a man sows, that and that only is what he will reap. You can't sow pears or sow corn and expect peas. You're going to get corn. Verse 8. For he who sows to his own flesh, lower nature, sensuality, will from the flesh reap decay and ruin and destruction. But he who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. What do you want in life? If you want the love of God, the peace of God, the rest of God, if you want the Word to work in your life, then sow to the Spirit. Become spiritually minded, for that's life and peace, Romans 8. If you want the carnal nature to be in dominance in your life, sow to that. But whatever you sow to, that's what you're going to reap. And that's what Jesus is saying here in John 15, 7. If you abide in me, if you sow to me, if you remain in me, if you sow the word and obey the word, you will reap that. You will. Then you can ask what you will.
Amen.
Because the reason for that is twofold. Because if you're walking the word way, if you're being spiritually minded, you're walking with God, you're drawing closer to Him, your will is becoming His will. You're conforming your will to His. So you know what His will is. So when your prayers align up with His will, your desires will be changing to His will.
Yeah.
Your carnal nature will be moving from your own self, self-centeredness, to other-centeredness, because you're drawing closer to Him. You cannot draw closer to Him and be self-centered at the same time. You're going to be changing that. Basically, you're being revived.
Amen.
You're being drawn closer to the Father, so you're being revived.
Mm-hmm.
More and more like Him in your thoughts, your words, your deeds. So you're thinking differently. Mm-hmm. Now you don't fly off the handle all the time when somebody does something wrong to you. You don't strike back the way you used to. You don't get upset with things the way you used to. You're changing. You're becoming more spiritually minded. You're on guard against those things which would hinder your love walk with the Father. You're changing. Change is necessary to be revived or refreshed. You have to be changed. And you have to make the decisions to do that. God does the work once you make the decision and maintain it. So we're being consistently constant. We're abiding and continuing. So we're becoming more like Him. Here in, let's go to James chapter 1. Remember, we're talking about recognizing the fruits of righteousness and unrighteousness. Unrighteousness can line up with the don'ts in the Bible. There's only two things. There's only righteousness and unrighteousness. There's only being spiritually minded and carnally minded. You're one or the other. Spiritually minded, you can look through the Bible and say, if He's telling you to do this and walk this way, that's spiritually minded. If He's saying not to do this and avoid that, that's being carnally minded or unrighteous minded. So when you're trying to recognize the difference between righteous walking, walking right with God, and walking opposite of God's will, or the unloving way, or walking carnally in your life, look at the don'ts. That's why those lists are, that's why Paul, in every letter, he's putting them there. He's telling you how to discern right from wrong, how to know how to draw closer to the Father, how not to, what hinders the word in your life, what hinders your prayer life, the do's versus the don'ts. So we're talking about that here in James chapter 1 and verse 5. He says, if any of you is deficit, now any means anybody, if any of you is deficit or without, in wisdom, Let him ask of the giving God, who gives to everyone liberally and ungrudgingly, without reproaching or fault finding, and it will be given to him. Only it must be in faith that he asks, with no wavering, no hesitating, no doubting. For the one who wavers, hesitates, and doubts is like the billowing surge out at sea that is blown hither and thither and tossed by the wind. For truly, let not such a person imagine that he will receive anything he asks for from the Lord. Well, how can I not doubt sometimes? You need an anchor, don't you? You need an anchor for those doubts when they come your way. One guy said, you have to doubt your doubts. Charles Capps, one of his things. You have to doubt your doubts. We have to learn how to do that. When the doubts come your way, say, I doubt that. The Word says. You got a promise to hang on. You got something God said. Now, if He said it in the Word, if it's a promise in the Word, then He'll do it. He'll back it. So you don't have to guess at what He's going to do. You know. And that's what He's talking about here. Lining up your desire, what you're asking for, with a promise in the Word. Find an anchor for it. And then whenever those doubts and problems and issues attack that, grab a hold of that Word. Control your thoughts, your desires, your doubts with the Word of God.
Yes.
Because He cannot lie. And that's drawing closer to Him. That's discerning the difference between an unrighteous thought and a righteous thought. Discerning the difference between something that's going to bear fruit and something that's going to not bear fruit or cause a block in that fruit bearing that you're trying to bear. Or cause your prayer to come to pass or block the prayer. So I have to have, especially in prayer, you have to have an anchor. You have to have something that says, thus says the Lord. Mm-hmm. You find that promise in the Bible. There's about 7,000 or so, they say. Mm-hmm. I haven't counted them. Mm-hmm. But there's something like that in there. And find the promise related to what you're asking. Establish that. I believe this. Enemy comes along, or your own self comes along and says, how's that going to work? You don't need to know how it's going to work. Mm-hmm. That's not your part. Your part is to believe it and to conform your will to His will. It wouldn't be a promise if it wasn't His will. And if He wasn't going to do it, it wouldn't be a promise. The same way with a commandment. If the commandment is in there, it's there with a purpose. The commandment is there to draw you closer to Him and separate you from the things that hinder you. That's what it's there for. Mm-hmm. It's there out of love for you. It's there to lift you up and to give you an anchor in your life. It's there to separate you from the carnal nature of the world and draw you into the presence of the Father. That's what it's there for. Anytime you have a commandment in the Bible or a promise, the power to bring itself to pass is already built into
yes.
it. He's already paid the price for it. He's already established it. You don't have to talk Him into it. He's already done it. Okay? How many prayers do we... I can't help it, Grace. I keep getting over there to prayer. How many prayers do you hear people pray just trying to talk God into something? Have you ever prayed that way? I have. Everybody has done that. And that's because we have not established our prayer on the Word of God. We want Him to change His mind. And He won't change His mind. He's already paid the whole price. He left nothing undone. Pastor mentioned a few weeks ago about the finished work of God
yes.
Christ. He paid for it. It's done. What He said He will do is all paid for. He doesn't have to go to the bank and get a little extra money out. And He doesn't have to go to the warehouse to get the supplies out and maybe run out. It's paid for. I have to link up with what that provision has been made. I have to link up with that. The place I link up with, the place I write my check, the check is that promise.
Mm-hmm.
The check is that commandment. That's how I write my check on my heavenly account. By grabbing hold of that promise, I say, Father, Your Word says. I've already got my answer when I pray. Father, Your Word says. Know what it says. Present the promise to the Father. not only are you presenting it to the Father, it's not as if he didn't know. He didn't forget. That's where I activate it. I write my check, go to the bank, lay it on there. I presented my demand, my request for funds that belong to me.
Right.
The promises are mine. They already belong to me. He doesn't make a decision whether or not I qualify. I make that decision. Mm. I decide if I qualify. He's already said I qualify. That's the finished work. He has paid the price, put everything aside for me whenever I need it. Then I bring his word in the form of a demand, so to speak, not demanding God, but I am making a request. Most checks say, pay to the order of, on the demand of, or something like that, you know, such and such funds. That's what I do when I bring the promise, or Mother's been talking about ask, seeking, and knocking the last three, four...
Six weeks
on Thursday nights. That's what we do. We decide what we want. We go get our checkbook, find the promise, okay? We dig around in here. That's seeking. Mm-hmm. I seek the promise. Once I've sought the promise and God fine-tunes my request, while I'm seeking, I'm praying, I'm listening, he's fine-tuning my request so that I know exactly what the word says and how to approach it. That's how I find the door. Mm-hmm. And I knock on the door, not his door. I'm knocking on what I'm desiring, okay? What the request is, because now it's fine-tuned. I'm exactly with my request. I've made my request known. He's fine-tuned it between him and I. He's communicated with me as I've sought. Now the door is in front of me. So I present the check. Okay? I'm presenting the check. He opens the door. The enemy has to open it. He can't keep it closed. The Father will open it. Okay? And the enemy can't close it because I'm lining up with the Word.
Right.
Here's my promise. I fine-tuned my life. I've lined up with whatever that commandment or the promise is. I've lined up with that. I've corrected myself. I've made any changes. I fine-tuned it myself during that seeking process. Now the door's there. I knock. It has to open. There's only one door that God will knock on. Just one. The door of my heart.
Mm-hmm.
And he can't open that door. Only I can. Okay, that's where the commandments are concerned. When I present the request, they're going to look at the commandment. Am I lining up with the commandment? Now, during the fine-tuning process, I line up with the commandments. Okay? Now the door's right there. I qualify. It's just that simple. It sounds complicated, but it isn't. It's, I have a desire. I think it's correct, but it may not be. I may not have conformed to the promise. I may not have actually had the promise yet. But I line up with that now during the seeking, and then I knock. We have served an awesome God that loves us so much. His love is boundless, and that's all he can do is love. When I find out that God is the being love, that revolutionizes your entire life with God. One of the most dynamic changes that I had in my life was I was ministering in our church, 05 or 08 when we had our church, and I was doing a study on mercy. And it dawned on me during that study, especially that one of the most dynamic parts was in, I believe it's in Exodus, where he's instructing Moses on how to build the Ark of the Covenant. And he gives all these instructions, but at the end of it he says, put a seat on the top of it. Mm. And then put two angels facing that seat. Mm. That seat he identified as being mercy. He called it the mercy seat. Mm. Or the throne of mercy. Mm. Okay? So that throne of mercy is then he told him, this is where you bring your sins to once a year. Bring all of Israel's sins to the mercy seat. Not the judgment seat. Now, if it was you or I, and we were those sins were coming to us, where would we bring them to? The seat of judgment. And that's the God that is taught in most churches, the seat of judgment. But that's not what he presented in Israel. The power source and the judgment was done through the mercy seat. He said, and I'll communicate with you here on this mercy seat. And that just went off in me. You know, this book is a book of mercy from cover to cover. That's what the whole thing is. It's mercy. And what's the root of mercy? Love. And God is love, the being. How can he do anything but that? Well, God has wrath. Yes, he does. But it's rooted in love and mercy. And that wrath is focused at anything that will come against that love and mercy. Mm-hmm. That's what the commandments and all of that are there for. They're to focus on what hurts you and separates you, so that you have something to get a hold of and use as an anchor in your life and conform to, so that he can love you in the way that he wants to. Now there's only one, and that commandment is to love. That's the commandment that encompasses everything else. And he even said, when you love one another, you have done all of the law and the prophets. You've completed the whole. When you love the Lord thy God with all your heart, mind, soul, mm-hmm. all that you are, and love one another, you've fulfilled all the law and the prophets. You've done them all. The key is love. So that went off in me. When I know that, when I know these things about God, it changes how I respond in my life. When I know that he's love, I know that he's, and I went ahead and studied that. Mercy's all through there. If you type it into a search engine, you'd be amazed what comes out. Mm-hmm. Mercy and loving kindness, especially in Psalms. You know, that's who our God is. So if that's who he is, that's how he's going to respond. He's not going to respond any other way. I know that tornado came through there and it tore that. That was God's wrath. No, it wasn't. That was sin. That's the result of sin. Do you know it never rained until Noah's time? It never rained. And if it doesn't rain, you don't have a storm, do you? Now, it doesn't say there wasn't a storm before that time. But I am an adjuster and I've never seen storms without rain. You know, I know about storms. But up to that time, though, all the earth was watered with a mist that rose up from the ground, up till the time of Noah. They didn't know what rain was. And think about that. Sin brought that on. Man's fall brought that on. So he, all this time, from cover to cover in his Bible, he's been busy bringing covenants, trying to get relationships with a man so that he can interact, so that he can do something to get us back where we were in his heart. It's the whole thing from cover to cover. He just wants that relationship back. That's all he wants. He wants to walk in the garden with us again like he did with Adam and have that deep, intimate knowledge. That's what it's all about. And it's happening.
Yes.
It's happening. That's what the end times is all about. Closing out this sin time and bringing us back into restoration with our Father.
Yeah.
That's what it's all about. It's not a negative, it's a positive. The world system's going to end, but the world's not.
Mm-hmm, that's right.
It's going to continue. Mm-hmm. So here, when he said, these are the things that keep us out. But if I will manage my doubting, if I manage that, then I move closer to the fulfillment of the promise. Because I've got that anchor of the word here that I'm anchoring myself in. God, your word says. Whether the doubt says, mind shut up, the word says. Mm-hmm. And voice it. Voice it. Mother talks about Thanksgiving all the time. Once you've asked for something, and well, Jane asked a question last Thursday night about it. Mm-hmm. Do you ask more than once? Well, it depends on how you define ask. Ask the first time you establish your desire. Then the thanksgiving is maintained during the fine-tuning process of seeking. Every time that comes up, Father, I thank you that your word says. That's how you ask again and continuously ask. You don't go back and say, God, please do this again. Mm-hmm. That's, you've automatically said by doing that, you said he didn't do anything. Nothing happened. Mm-hmm. If I go back to her every day and ask her for the same thing she's already given me, mm-hmm. or she said, I'm going to do this for you, and I say, are you sure? Please do this. And tomorrow or an hour later, are you going to do please? Have your kids ever done that? Yes, I'm going to do it. Yeah. I mean, well, what do you think about God? His mercy and love has already paid everything. Mm-hmm. He's given us everything he said he would give. Mm-hmm. He has already laid the most... He bankrupted heaven with Jesus so that he could get this to us. He can't pay any more than that. And yeah, oh God, please? Please, are you going to do that? No, that's what I do when I continuously ask for the same thing and I haven't established it on his word at all. But once I find the promise, I found what he's going to do and what he paid for. And now I start thanking him for that. I presented it to him, Father, your word says, and this is going on in my life. I need this to work in my life right now. And I'm taking my place. I'm taking your word and I'm receiving that promise into myself. And I'm believing, I'm applying my faith to it. That's when you activate the promise. That's the activator, my faith. So I activate your promise by believing it, Lord. And now I declare it back to you. I return this word to you, and your word says it will not return void. It's not returning to you void, my faith, because my faith has been applied. And now that seed of the word, I believe, is working.
Amen.
So I receive the answer to this, and I know the process has begun. Whatever that may involve, I know the process has begun. And now tomorrow, Father, I thank you. The process has begun. My request has already been granted. It was granted on the cross 2,000 years ago. And Lord, I thank you for that. I thank you that your word says, and that's how you reestablish it. You maintain that prayer that way. And one day, you'll see that door fly open. It may be a month, maybe a year. The time frame is not yours to determine. There's a lot going on in the background. Never box God in with a time.
It will, takes practice, though.
It takes practice because you're living in this every day. Mm-hmm. You're facing this circumstance every day. But when you've got the promise and that intensity starts coming, mm-hmm. reestablish it again with the thanksgiving. Father, I thank you, your word says. No matter what I see, no matter what I think's going on around me, I doubt that because there's a higher law working. I can't deny that it's there because it is there in front of me. But I deny its ability to maintain itself because I am speaking the word over it. It's a higher law. See, I'm focusing on a higher law. The cancer may be there. It's a reality or whatever it is. I cannot say it's not there. But now I'm doubting its ability to maintain itself because there's a higher law functioning. By his stripes you were healed. Past tense, paid for. So I'm doing this. I maintain my mind that way. I maintain my thoughts that way. I keep my focus on the promise, not on the issue. All the time, I'm doing this in James chapter 1, verse 5 and 6. James chapter 1, verse 5 and 6. I'm asking for wisdom. And he'll grant it. He doesn't even say you have to be born again here to get wisdom. He says he gives to all. Okay? So if I ask him, not believing, I mean, not doubting, if I ask him and maintain that, doesn't mean the thoughts won't come, but you battle the thoughts with the word. You cannot define whether or not something works or happens by with somebody else.
Exactly.
You've got to develop your own relationship with the Lord, your own knowledge of the word, make your own decision that God's word is true. And it is. You can't keep a thought from coming up because that's what this thing does all the time. Mm-hmm. And there's doubt all around us. We're walking through a filthy, dirty world that's full of doubt. But I can maintain my thoughts with the word. And if you catch yourself doing that, treat it as a sin and say, "Oh, I repent of that." 1 John 1:9. I repent. I confess that doubt as a sin. I confess that before you. And I thank you that your word's washing this doubt away.
Amen.
I choose. I make a quality choice. Don't you know that's hard on the enemy when he's working so hard to move you off your path, that word? He's trying to get you off of there because that's what he does. He has to deceive you to get you off. That's all he's got. He tries to deceive you into believing it's not working so that you agree with that. And when you agree that it's not working or you start doubting, then you back off, and the angels and God and everybody else that's working on that have to wait for you. That's what happens. And we think God's delaying. A lot of times we do more to delay it than God ever does. Because we allow that to function. That's why it's so important that we have a promise. Write it down. If you're doing something that's intense like that, find the promise, get your concordance. We can help you if need be, whatever. But find the promise related to that. Write it out and keep it before your eyes. Yeah. And you're acknowledging what he said. Mm-hmm. And then God can work with that. But that's where this wisdom comes from. Ask for it. Father, I need wisdom how to maintain this. And your word says you'd give it to me. So I'm believing that. Start thanking him every day for the wisdom. Thankfulness is so important. That's why wherever you see prayer, wherever you see prayer, he tags on prayers and thanksgiving, or with thanksgiving. He always ties that together, because thanksgiving is the receiving end of it.
Yes.
I mentioned this before, but some hear this on the internet and everything else, and new lady here, praise the Lord. But anyways, if you walk up to somebody, and experiment with this sometime, you're just walking down the street and somebody's coming your way, you've never seen them in your life before, mm-hmm. never talked with them, you just reach out and thank you, and that's all you say. What's the response every time of before? Because even in our culture, when I say thank you, it's because I received something from you. Mm-hmm. It's no difference in the word. When I'm thankful, I'm receiving. I'm in the receiving mode. When I keep asking, I'm in the doubting mode. Mm-hmm. I've automatically, one guy the other day, a little message he had was, a little short message came across the internet and said, faith should never have a question mark behind it. Your faith confession, it should always have an exclamation point behind it. When you say you believe something, is there a question mark on it? Mm-hmm. Or is there an exclamation point on it? Mm-hmm. If I really believe it, there's an exclamation point on it. But if I've got that little question mark there, there's a slight doubt. Now I gotta do something with that. It's okay to say it that way. You're still confessing by faith what it says, but deal with the question mark and put an exclamation point on it. Even if it means saying it over and over again for however long it takes, but keep that word before you, confess it before the Lord, ask for the wisdom to maintain it, and he'll give it to you. He will do that. But it's always up to me to do something. I'm the umpire, okay? I'm the one that decides what works and what doesn't. The enemy can't change anything. He's got to deceive me into changing it. He has to have me to change it. If I don't agree with him, he can't change it. He can't move me on. God has to have me too to get the promise to me. I decide who works. Mm-hmm. A lot of times we'll ask God to do something and sit back. We're involved in everything he does in some way, even if it's going to maintain the promise. We are involved. And the more we see that, the more I understand that, the stronger I get. It doesn't weaken me. It makes me stronger to know that I'm involved and that he'll teach me what I need to know. And that word, like I said, is a higher law. It's already settled. And it has the power within itself. We've got some scriptures later on here. It has the power within itself to bring itself to pass. All it needs is me. And see, that's what the enemy's trying to do constantly, is to move us all away from that. He does it by deception. If you've been praying like this, presenting the promise, declaring it before the Lord, believing you receive and maintaining it, and you don't see it, what's the next step? It didn't work, I guess. It's never the word that didn't work. Mm-hmm. It's not the word. Either you're off-center somewhere. Start checking your love walk. Is there some place where you've got unforgiveness working? Bitterness. Something hidden somewhere that you're not dealing with. There's something off-center somewhere. Or manifested. Or it's not time yet. The process is still there. The process is still involved. It's never the word. It's always something that is off-center. If it's not maintained and you've checked up and the love walk is there, There's nothing the Holy... Ask the Holy Spirit to show you, because He will.
That's what the wisdom's for.
That's what the wisdom's for. Holy Spirit, am I off center here somewhere? Something I'm not doing or applying here, because Your Word works. So You put that in there, because I know Your Word's true. I don't doubt Your Word at all. I know it's true. So I must be off center somewhere, or it's still in process. If it's still in process, what do? You stand there for it.
Thank you.
You stand there for it. You can't stand there for it without an anchor. That anchor is the Word. That anchor is the promise that you started with. That anchor is what you've settled with God. His Word is true. It will come to pass in its season. Now, there's always a lot of things in the background that are going on that we don't know about. God, I need that job over there. Is it the job? And you know that it is. It's the place He's sending you. You know you're sent there. That's all established. But there's somebody working there now. God, kick him out. No, God, don't do that. He's got to advance that person to get you in there or create a new job. You see, so he's not going to hurt somebody else to get you in there. Now, the other guy may hang himself, but chances are God will move him somewhere. Mm-hmm. Normally to a better place. Or there's always something in the background that we don't know about. There's something there that we're not aware of. And God works with that. God, give me wisdom. And that's true. He'll give you wisdom. Part of that wisdom is correcting yourself. You know, he'll say, you'll want this certain work or certain thing. And then God starts saying, okay, now deal with this right here. God, that's not related to this. I'll deal with that later. But I need this right now. No, he's going to take you over here to this other thing that's hindering you. Because he's always going to take you to your love walk. Every time he's going to take you there. If there's unforgiveness or strife in your home or a bitterness or any of that there, he's going to take you right there. And you're not alone on it. He's going to help you deal with it. He's going to show you how. Amen. And then the Holy Spirit starts bringing rest and peace to you. As you correct yourself, it's like a domino. It takes care of other areas. But if you maintain your love walk, you're always ready. If you're having trouble doing it, grab a prayer partner, somebody that you know. Maybe not be sure they're a faith person. Somebody's going to encourage you and lift you up and not say, oh, you poor thing. I don't need that. I need to know what the Word says. I need you to get an agreement there. Agreement means you believe the same thing, you know. So, but get somebody to pray with. Get somebody. There's always somebody to help you. You know, sometimes we're ashamed to ask, but we need to ask, especially if we're struggling with something.
Amen.
I got to shut up. Father, we thank you for this time in your Word. We thank you, Father, for the harvest of this Word that we received today. Thank you, Lord, that it will come up in our daily life as we walk through our life. Thank you for the truth, the manifested presence of yourself in your Word. And thank you, Father, for the services that lie ahead, that there will be a move in our hearts today, each individual heart, as we draw closer to you, Father. Thank you for revealing yourself in the Word today. In Jesus' name,
amen.
Amen.